learning, I trust, that liberty is not the right to live as you please, but it's the privilege of living as you should. I think you guys are dismissed, and you'll be called up later, I'm sure. Patty and I spent several days with 1,000 other people in the presence of the Lord just a week and a half ago. And it was a phenomenal, phenomenal gathering. Not just because we were singled out by national level prophets a couple of times, which ain't bad, but the presence of the Lord was awesome. I was so struck by both the teaching and the prophetic impact on the conference that I bought the DVDs. And I brought them home, and I plan to show them one weekend in late August on a Friday night and a Saturday for those of you who would like to be encouraged in a really powerful, powerful way. So I'll work out the details with whoever need to work that out, but I wanted you to know that because there are significant prophetic implications for our nation in the things that were declared, and I want you to hear them firsthand. Rhonda, would you come join me on the platform? Would you rise and welcome her as she comes to present the Word of God today?
How many of you came? Am I on? Yeah. With a sense of expectancy today. Okay. I want you to get that disposition, you know, where you get at the end of your seat and you lean forward. When something's really good and you know you don't want to miss the next word that comes forth and you don't want to even think about blinking, you just want to capture everything that's happening. You should have a sense of expectancy this morning. Prophetically, it's been really busy today. I've had several different of the prophetic folks come up to me. The first person came up to me and said, you know, this doesn't normally happen to me, but I see a huge angel over here, and in the angel's hand is this very large sword. But the strange thing about the sword is the Lord was telling me, don't be deceived about how large it is, because it has the ability to make fine-tuned precision cuts, just like a surgeon's scalpel. First thing I think is, aha, the presence of God's going to be coming. And He's going to be doing some fine-tuned cutting, and this is great, because that means there's going to be relief to us. There's going to be some deliverance. There's going to be some healing. There's going to be some restoration as He operates on us. That's always a good sign when the presence of God is here to do precision work on you as an individual. Then the next person came up to me and she said, I see the huppah, which is the wedding covering, the Jewish wedding covering. And that's a good sign, because that means the Father, the presence of God, is coming to commune with us in a very intimate way. You know, and it takes some intimacy to be able to do fine-tuned precision surgery. The Father has to know you, exactly what you need. And there's a desire. He's creating a presence here with a desire to meet your needs. Then the third person came up, and she said, all of a sudden, I saw coals, bright, red, warm coals. And the Lord said, they're living sacrifices. We are presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, the praise that we send forth. Now, all of these pieces should build a sense of expectancy for you. Because God, He's choosing several different people to bring a message to you of intimacy that He is desiring to approach you today and meet your needs and speak to you today. How many of you need a word from the Lord? How many of you need a touch from the Lord? How many of you would simply like to feel the presence of God, the God that you serve, the God that you're in relationship with? How many of you need to be in the presence of God today? Raise your hand. Now forget what you've had before. Forget your other experiences. You start afresh today, and you start afresh with the focus of, I'm here to meet my God because I need Him to continue. And I want you to sit on the edge of your seats with an expectancy that God is going to show up and He's going to meet with you. Because He's given me a really cool teaching to give you today. And the interesting thing about it is Pete and I didn't have an opportunity to communicate. And yet all of his songs began to speak that which the Spirit wanted to do today. Drawing you close, that He may draw close to you. So don't miss it. Attune yourself to capture it and take hold of it. Let your disposition be like that of the lady who was bent over and thought, if I can just get a hold of His robe. And you reach out there. You take a hold of what God has for you today. You know, I was going to kind of start off with some telling about my vacation, but I already sensed something from the Lord, you know, that little heartbeat going. It's kind of a little prophetic trigger going, so I'm just going to go right into the teaching. But I want to start it with an illustration. You know, I love Marilyn because she always has these cool illustrations. So I've asked her to help me with something today. Because we're going to talk about that very battle of whether we enter the presence of God. And that battle that goes on inside of us about getting into the presence of God. And so you have today a believer. A believer with her Bible because she is going to go try and draw close to God and meet with Him today. She's going to try and meet with Him. And then you have me, and I'm going to be her soul. And of course, I'm always with her, you know. I'm going to illustrate what we all know goes on. So what you going to do today?
I'm going to target the presence of the Lord, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it takes so long to do that. Do we really have time? I mean, you know, you got up late. I don't know. Plus, you know, you go talk with God. He's going to bring up that thing. He does it every time. And I know you're still mad at your husband, aren't you?
Yeah.
Did you apologize like he told you to do last time? Well, yeah. You know, it's kind of hard to get into the presence of the Lord when you still got that sin hanging over you. Yeah. But you know, you've got time to catch the morning show. You love that show. Yeah, that would relax you. It's been a hard week, you know. I want you to have some fun. You know, it's so hard to quiet your mind. Today's not a very good day for quieting your mind. Yeah. Didn't sleep too well, did you? Feeling sleepy? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Did you remember to write that check? The bill? You had 2 days to get it there. Okay, and then there was other things at work. You had to send that email. Okay, let's see. And where was that one piece? That letter that had to be sent off? Okay, got to remember to do that. Oh, my gosh, look at the time. I don't think you really have time to go before the presence of the Lord. Yeah, you'll catch him. You'll catch him later. You'll catch him later. Yeah. Now, is this not what we experience? Raise your hand. Tell me. Do you not walk through this as you battle to get into the presence of the Lord? Thank you. This is a daily experience. See, I'm sharing stuff. I don't have a husband. I'm sharing stuff that I would normally experience. Especially when it comes to TV or that movie. Oh, gosh, that movie. No. Or sometimes I'll be saying to the Lord, but it's so hard. You know, you have to sit there, quiet your mind, learn to perceive His presence. If He would just walk in the room when you sat down and we could just get started, hey, we could work that in. Good to go. But coming into the presence of the Lord is something we grow into. It's something we develop a skill for. But it's something that is very important and will save your life. I want to talk to you today about drawing near to God to hear His voice, that we may grow in relationship with Him. You have to draw near to God because you can't live out your relationship with a straw draining everything from somebody else's revelation and everything they learn and think, okay, that's good enough. Well, I'm good to go for the week. Yeah. Good to go the week, because you know why? I believe all the things of the kingdom of God that can be sustained within us, become a living part of us, that stays with us, are birthed from a place of intimacy, and the revelation that God shares with us, puts in us, in that place of intimacy. Think about it. How well is the match between our receptor and God's revelation if He builds it just so that it works just right with us? Intimacy with God is very important. Anything that you will do, whether it be healing, prophecy, deliverance, prayer, giving your testimony, it's all birthed out of a living revelation that you have when you draw near to God. That makes it authentic. I can take something, a good line, a good teaching that Pastor Lanny shares with me, and I can go share it with someone. It will still be true, but it may not be living in me until God makes it a part of me, speaking my language, talking to me intimately about it. And the interesting thing is this, and I want you to listen to this statement. We, not God, we determine the level of intimacy that we are going to experience in our relationship with God. When He told me that, I thought, huh? Because all this time I've been walking around thinking, why don't you just draw near? Why don't you come near? Why can't I have the experiences that they have? Why can't you, Lord, why can't you cross the gap here? Why can't you come and teach me things? Why can't? And when I began to realize that I determine the level of intimacy that I'm going to experience with God, I realized that I have an action in there. And He has a reaction. And intimacy with God is so important. That's where we get our strength. That's where we're renewed. In His presence, we are changed into His likeness. In His presence, we learn to see what the Father sees, to do what the Father is saying. We learn to be like Jesus and do that which we see the Father doing. We learn how to exercise kingdom principles that affect change on the earth. Yet if you look at the Christian life, intimacy is the battleground where the fighting is most fierce. Think about it. Did you say that's true? It's a pretty fierce battleground. When you're trying to get close to the Lord, we saw it right here. Pressures of life. They began to cause us to drift away. Take a snippet of time here with the Lord. Oh, a snippet of time there. Till pretty soon, and I've had this conversation with God, I'll go, oh my gosh, you know, it's really been weeks since I've really sat down for a long period of time and pursued Your presence. Lord, I feel like I don't even know how to do this anymore. But we must learn how to draw near to God. You know, the Scriptures assure us that if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. That's why we determine the level of intimacy we experience with Him. And God's not a respecter of persons. He will draw near to anyone that draws near to Him. You know, James 4:8, he was addressing the believers and the brethren in that area. And he asked them to identify the source of their ill content. Now, these particular believers, they had gotten in kind of a pickle amongst themselves. They had been quarreling with one another. They had gotten into lust, jealousy. They had gotten into adultery. Essentially, they had allowed worldly thinking to permeate their beliefs and their values. And they were experiencing frustration. Because it tells us in James 4 that their prayers were going unanswered. Their behavior no longer testified to the Holy Spirit that was living within them. Yet they were still believers. Wrong thinking. Worldly values can separate us from a sense of intimacy with God. And in this situation, basically the Holy Spirit had become trapped in the body of unbelieving believers. They knew the truth, but they had become so immixed with the culture that the truth had become almost foreign to them. We've been there before, haven't we? Not careful about our thoughts, our attitudes that we pick up. Pretty soon, begin to feel dry inside because we start believing that lie that, well, God, where is God? Where is His nearness? I can't hear His voice right now. Sometimes we might begin to lose hope. Maybe we're thinking, gosh, God, is He ever going to deliver me from this situation? Well, that was the place that these folks were in. But James gave them some advice. He said to them, first of all, God jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. God jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. I need to stop right now. I'm losing names, but Dave, right behind you. This happens sometimes when I'm seeing something in the Spirit. Right there, in this letter. Jane. I know Jane. Jane, stand up. I want you to know that this day, I believe the Lord declares to you that He will restore to you 100-fold what the ravens have taken from you, 100-fold. And you're going to be seeing it come into your life. And there's blessing and green spreading out from your house in all directions. And your orchards will be full. And your joy will be full. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Yay, God! You know, when you're in a desert and you need green and you need orchards, and God comes up and says, I'm going to meet your need, and I am the God of you, and I know you intimately, and I'm going to deliver you or I'm going to bless you, and He gives you that word, it's like, yes! That's water to a thirsty man. Yes. Sarah, stand up. I believe the Lord says you have started a pathway, but from that pathway there's going to be many other pathways branching off. I see you going into other countries, countries where there is sand and desert, and the Lord says you're going to be my messenger, and the Lord says you're going to be my John the Baptist walking out, you know, with these sandals. Something about the sandals, they're simple. They fit your personality. They're an extension of who you are. And you're going out in those sandals. And you're going to be taking the gospel to remote places. And the people are lined up with their mouths like this, right before you, ready to eat that gospel, ready to eat from your hands. And He says that your heart will be full. Your heart will be full. You won't miss the things of the past. You won't go in insecurity. Your heart will be full because you're going to be walking with the Lord. And the sense of doing what you see your Father doing is going to be so real that your life will be very full. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that our heartbeat? To feel like we're fulfilling the purpose of God in our lives? You know what's so great about that? Because when you feel like you're fulfilling the purpose of God in your life, it's like you're walking next to Him. Oh, I feel God in this. Oh, He's right here. When we serve in His name, we get to feel His presence come through us. We get to partake of that. God's going to fill your hungry heart. Tell me your name. I can't bring names forth. Yes. Katie. God's going to fill your hungry heart, and He's going to show you a tremendous amount about the prophetic. He's going to show you a tremendous amount about miracles. But God is going to fill your hungry heart. We need hungry hearts. We need expectancy. Thank you, Lord. I have no idea where I was. God jealously desires the Spirit that is within you. He wants to commune with you in a real way on a daily basis. He wants you to feel His heartbeat and see the expression on His face. He wants you to be able to smell Him, to know the inclination of where He's heading. That close, that intimate. In Psalms it says that God's Spirit is continuously calling unto our spirit. He jealously desires to commune with you. Well, James sees the misery of the people, where they're at. And he says to them, draw near to God, and God will, He will draw near to you. Lay in the blind hair. Stand up. Right here on the end. Angie, I saw the Lord taking your family and your body. It represented your body because your heart is for your family. And He began to snap the joints back into place. And so it functioned very well and flowed very well. And the largest characteristics about your heart and the family were these huge arms that came around and embraced one another and embraced you. And God's love, His arms were all around it. And there was healing in His arms. And He wants to tell you, it's going to be okay. 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 I'm going to keep saying this because I see the Spirit falling. It's going to be okay. God has delivered you from the clutches of the enemy. It's going to be okay. And she will walk in strength and she will walk in healing. It's going to be okay. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is He not our healer and our sculptor, the great surgeon? Do you know that it has always been God's plan to have an intimate communion with us? Intimate relationship with us as individuals? Not just as a people group, but as individuals. We look at Adam and Eve in the garden. God walked and talked with them. And before the fall, Adam and Eve responded easily to the Spirit of God. It was only after the fall that the eyes of their soul was opened to the desires of their soul. And then we saw that competition between the soul and the spirit going on. And they withdrew from God and hid themselves. If we look at Israel, we recall that Israel also tended to withdraw from God. Remember, God never intended for Israel to have a king. He intended to lead Israel as a people Himself. To have communion with them and lead them Himself. But they were afraid. And so they told Moses, you go. You go to the Lord and you see what He says. And you come back and tell us what He says and then we'll go and do it. So as a people, we tend to draw away, to withdraw from God because of the condition of our soul, our emotions, our thoughts, our attitudes, the stuff we collect. Just walking through this life. But our spirits will always draw us back into the presence of God. Our soul will give us many excuses of why we can't go to the Lord, of why it's not going to help us, or why we're unworthy of His love. But our spirits will always be drawn to the Spirit of the Lord and confirm the truth. We must learn to draw near to God despite the condition of our souls, because it is in His presence that we hear His voice. And it is God's voice that helps us to grow and be sustained. Renew us. Teach us. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, We do not live by bread alone, but by every rhema word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. By every spoken, living word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Have you ever been in a situation where you're so desperate for God to intervene in your life that you say, Lord, just speak the word and I will gobble it up right there. I will literally suck it, pull it from your breath. That's how desperate I am for you to give me a word, because I know that if I can get a hold of the word from the Lord, that my perspective will become in line. And I know, Lord, that if you speak it, you will see it through and you will have the word performed. And it doesn't matter if my situation doesn't change, I will be changed and I'll walk through this. Or we get that word and we'll have the authority and then we speak it and we bring about change around us. The rhema word of God, that word that comes from a place of intimacy, is very important. It can renew your life and it can change the lives of others. McCall, stand up. I see you pursuing music. I know that you are musically inclined, but I see you pursuing music. And the thing that I foresee, and I'm so sorry, Mom and Dad, I see you heading to New York. And there's a connection in New York, in that New York, New Jersey area. And I see the Lord starting a work there that you're going to be, I believe you're going to be a part of. And it has embodied within it the fire of God. The ability to ignite people quickly. To burn off quickly. To bring change quickly. But you're going to get connected with the fire of God. I don't know in what method or for how long. But that's what I see over you. I believe the Lord's showing me that for you. I keep clicking in and out, and I'm losing my place here. But that's okay, God, because it's better what you're doing. God's voice. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When the Lord, when we hear His voice, and He speaks that rhema word, it releases faith in us. And that faith releases hope in us. And boy, if you're hopeful that God's going to speak to you, you can't wait to get back into His presence again. And then that presence begins to change you and begins to build your hope up and begins to change your perspective. And you get another living word. And on we go. So we know how important it is to draw near God. There's life sustenance in the presence of God. But how do we do that? What exactly does it mean to draw near God? Well, the first thing you have to get down and be assured of, get down in you and be assured of, is that God desires to have communion with you. It's difficult to draw near a philosophy. It doesn't live, it doesn't breathe. But if you believe the truth that God desires to speak with you and meet with you and intervene with you on a daily basis, you'll pursue Him. So you need to get that down in you. And if you're not convinced of it, you go to the Scriptures until it becomes a living, breathing part of you. Because God will breathe on that truth. Have you ever come out of a sleep and had a worship song going on in your spirit? Help me, raise your hand. Have you ever had that happen? See, God's communing with you even in your sleep. He will get to you. He desires you so much. He will get to you where He can get to you. Know that He is eager to approach. He is eager to connect with you. He is eager to speak with you. He even sent His Son to die and be resurrected so that we are restored to the Father, so that we can approach freely after the fall. We can approach freely and respond to His Spirit. Commune with Him, Spirit to Spirit. Jesus, when He was on the earth, He modeled for us the type of intimacy and access that we have with the Father. If you look across time, God has always been about communicating with you, communion with you as an individual, as well as a people. So if God is pursuing us like that, if He is pursuing that type of a close relationship, how is it that we struggle with drawing close to God? Because it is a struggle sometimes, isn't it? Well, let's be honest. That can be a struggle. The little example we show, that's a living reality. I used to think to myself, when I get frustrated with the Lord, I can't hear your voice. Where are you? I've been waiting here 15 minutes. Hey, God. I come back the next day. God, where are you? Then I start thinking to myself, well, you know, and I have different people who I look to and I think, wow, boy, they got a relationship with God. I wish I knew God the way they did. It would be so good. It would taste so rich. And I think, because they're so disciplined. You know, they just get their act together and they're so disciplined. They read the Word and they just go do it. If I could just discipline myself and get my act together, I would experience that kind of intimacy. Yeah. That's what I got to do. I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to do everything it says. And I'm just going to nail myself to accountability here. Yeah, a couple of weeks I'll be flopped over on the floor. I can't do it. I'm never going to have this kind of relationship because I can't get it together. And then there are other people I look at and I think, well, they're just born that way. You know, they just skip through life and everything is good and they have the best attitude about everything. And because they're so pure in heart, God communes with them. I'm not made that way, you know? Thank God that God loves whiners sometimes. You know, in the right context. Whiners who are whining because they just need Him more, you know? But if you look at the life of David, you realize neither of those examples are true. Neither of them are. Doesn't matter how hard you work to be pure. And it doesn't matter if you're just innately born to have a great attitude. That's not the truth. If you had to be pure, then how did David, King David, get to be so close to God? He wasn't always obedient to the Lord. He spent time on the rooftop looking over when he should have been leading an army. And he gave in to the lust of his eyes. He committed adultery. He ended up committing murder. And yet, he experienced tremendous intimacy with God. So much so that God referred to David as a man after his own heart. Think about that. Whoa! A man after his own heart. God of the universe testifies through generations about you as being a man after his own heart. Now that's someone to take a look at if we're going to look at intimacy. So What did David do to build such a communion? What exactly did he do? I believe the key is this. David knew how to subdue his soul and allow his spirit to take him into the presence of God. Now, we all know David didn't have it easy. I don't want to live the life David had. David had many situations where his soul was vexed in every direction. And yet, he drug his soul into the presence of God. Every time he drug his soul into the presence of God. I mean, think about it. Put yourself in David's shoes. Nathan comes up to you, Nathan the prophet, and he fingers you and he says, "You are the man. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, have taken his wife as your own, and have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon." Nathan goes on to say, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your household." Whoa, will that be enough to send me over here? How would you like to approach a God who just said, "The sword will never depart from your household"? That was a strong rebuke. What did David do? Flung himself at God. Flung himself, drug his soul, regardless of his emotions, regardless of his thought, threw himself at the feet of God. What about when he was being pursued by Saul? At every turn, his life was in danger. Didn't know. Saul was going to catch up. David's going around one side of the mountain. Here comes Saul around the other. So close, danger so close, that David's in the back of the cave and Saul is at the front of the cave. Do you think your soul might be troubled? Do you think it might be difficult to think, "God, are you for me or what?" But he drug his soul into the presence of God. What about the night or the days that he was interceding for the firstborn, his firstborn with Bathsheba? And he had to watch that child die. Do you remember what he did? He got up and he worshiped afterwards. He took the torment of his soul into the presence of God. David responded to these expectations, these situations, every time expecting God to be for him, expecting God to be available to him, expecting God to help him, regardless of the grievousness of his actions or regardless to the condition of his soul. He went, he repented, and he expected God to intervene. And what was God's response to David's expectation? It was to always be in communication with David. And God's response was to have it recorded across generations that David was a man after his own heart. David had won God's love because he drew near to God. God drew near to him and testified over years and generations of people of his relationship with David. Had nothing to do with perfection. Had nothing to do with getting it right. It had everything to do with drawing near to God. David never let the pitfalls of his soul get in the way of having God intervene. Another thing David did is through every tribulation, David reminded God how much God loved him. You ever notice that in the Psalms? David reminded God of his mercy toward David and God's desire to care for David. David reminded God of God's testimony in the earth. And that whatever happened in the life of David would be a testimony of God's faithfulness. And in the Psalms, David reminded himself of God's attributes. Now, why do you think he had to remind himself? Do you think he walked in confidence all the time? No, probably not. He was probably much like us. He probably, in those moments, those tribulations, those severe things that he went through, he probably had to remind himself, God is faithful. God loves me. God is good. God is full of mercy. God will not let the enemy overtake me. God will preserve me. God will do right by me in his eyes. See, we have to learn to be like David. We have to learn to pour out our hearts to God and remind ourselves of his goodness. You got to remember, folks, we're drawing near to the God of all comfort, the God of all compassion, the God of all mercy, the God who loves us. We have to draw near to God to receive his perspective of hope. Because isn't that true? Doesn't he always speak to us in a manner that it gives us hope and encouragement? Even when he's correcting us, there's hope and life and encouragement. Because the alternative is to withdraw back into our despondency and our despair. And you can't live there long. That's a slow death. So how do we do this? How do we avoid the pitfalls of the soul and draw near to God? Well, do like David. Confess your sins and repent before God. Cling to God as you're going through the repentance. Use his strength to help turn you. And don't live in a place of condemnation. You move on. You drag your soul back into the presence of God. We have to remember there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Another way to draw yourself back into the presence of God is be reverent. Don't disdain and treat with familiarity the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know, Saul is a good example of that. When he went to war with the Amalekites, the Lord specifically told him, you are to kill all of the people and all of the animals. And what does Saul do? He reasoned to himself, he saved the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen. And he thought, oh, I'll save these and oh, I'll sacrifice them to the Lord. In his own reasoning, he picked and chose what he wanted to obey and not obey. Sometimes we can do that, can't we? When the Holy Spirit is fingering something and we decide not to really take a look at what he's fingering, or he tells us you need to stop, or it'll bring harm to you, and we decide, well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Deuteronomy 4:10 states, we learn to reverence God when we obey the words he speaks to us and treat those spoken truths with respect. Barbara, stand up. She's thinking, I see in you, you got this. Like you ever seen those, I know Marilyn would relate, these sumo wrestlers like this? and they get into a lock. Is that right? They get locked. And Barbara, I see you, not the image of a sumo wrestler, but I see you locked with God. And you're locked in that position. You've been locked for a while because you have a desperate sense. I mean, just like you need from Him and you're going to pull from Him. And part of that lock is very draining to you. The Lord says He's going to unlock that and that you're going to feel this flow from Him, this presence and this ease, because you've been striving and striving and striving for His presence. You've been pursuing Him, but you're pursuing Him so much that you've forgotten how to relax. And He's going to give you the ability to relax and enjoy His presence. He's been all over you. He's been in the grapple with you. He wants you to be able to feel the love of His presence. So He's going to enable you to relax while you pursue Him. I believe that's what the Lord's saying. Yeah. Yay. It's a good thing to wrestle with the Lord and take hold of Him and say, "You're going to bless me or I'll not let you go." That's what Barbara's doing. But sometimes we take hold so hard, we forget the soft. It's difficult for us to feel the soft voice that's coming. So Lord, just want to say, hey, the soft voice is coming. Don't disdain what He tells you. Honor what God tells you. Honor what the Holy Spirit tells you. Try your hardest to obey it. Another way to draw near to the Lord is to come to Him for the pleasure of His presence. Just for the pleasure of knowing Him. Sometimes I do that. You know, sometimes when you're in the thick of it and your soul is raging because either you've been waiting for healing or you've been waiting for a resolution or things have just been tough in your life, it's hard to go and think, "Oh God, you're so great." So sometimes we need reminders. And I'll tell you what I do. Sometimes I'll go to the Psalms and I'll just read what David testifies to about the Lord. Or I'll just read about how good God was to David. Or I'll even cheer aloud when God comes in and delivers David in a supernatural way. It's like, "All right, God. It's right. You got the stuff. And you're on my side." And then there's other times I'll go and I'll talk to God about, "Oh, this was really good. You handled that well. I like that." Or I'll read about Jesus. And how Jesus was so tender with people. He healed everyone. He didn't neglect the smallest person. He was patient. He was kind. And I'll tell Him, "Oh, Lord, this right here, oh, wow, does that speak of Your goodness. Lord, You're so good. You're so kind. You're so loving. You know, Lord, the thing that I appreciate about You is Your detail, Your attention to detail. You're not impatient at all. You'll wait and You'll hang around and meet the needs of those that are there. Oh, Lord, You sacrificed Your own away time with the Lord and to meet the people. You saw that they were hungry. Oh, Lord, that's so kind." And I began to appreciate Him for who He is. And He shows up and He loves on you. And I get to remind myself what He's like. Drawing near to God also helps to be thankful. There's a heck of a lot of things we cannot be thankful for, right? Plague our mind, get frustrated with. But you got to find things to be thankful, because it is in thanksgiving that we enter His gates. If you want to draw near to God, find something to be thankful for. Tell Him what you're thankful for. And lastly, remember that you're building intimacy with God. Over time, give yourself a chance to develop those skills to hear His voice. Give yourself a chance to develop that sense of experiencing His presence. It may not happen the first time you plop down. Okay, I got 15 minutes, God. Devote yourself to learning that, to learning the subtleties of the Spirit. Give yourself the opportunity to come into it. Don't go frustrated at the first moment that His voice was quiet. Meet Him there the next day. Tell Him you're there to meet Him. I feel the Spirit building behind me. Okay. It all begins with drawing near to God. Hearing His words, receiving His pictures, receiving His healing, testifying of who He is, living with a sense of purpose. It begins with drawing near to God, and He will draw near to you. We determine the level of intimacy that we experience with the Lord. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Becca, stand up, honey. I don't know if you guys know this, but I perceive, Becca, that you are a thinker. You think. Is that true? You just think about things. And I see Becca's thoughts, you know, just like waves of string or light. And she gets to thinking, and I believe the Lord's saying, sometimes you just get tangled up in your thoughts, and you get stuck for a little while. And right now, she's of the age, how old are you, Becca? 16. Yeah, well, you do some thinking when you're 16, because you're trying to figure out who you are and who are other people and what exactly do you believe. And your heart's very pure, Becca. I can see that right off. The Lord said He's going to make things calm and simple right in here. It has a lot to do with school, I think, and relationships and just the dynamics of school. But He's going to untangle things. Now, Becca, I know that you are a writer. I know that from Lauren. But I feel like the Lord said He's going to make you a poet. A poet of love sonnets. Help me, is that right? And this is what I'm hearing, so I'm just repeating. Sonnets are 14-line poems. He's going to make you a writer of love and of sonnets. And you're going to testify of Him, just like David did. And that's going to help you bring out some of those strings. Sometimes you feel like you're not standing where you should stand with the Lord. Sometimes you feel like you're not good enough, you're not strong enough, you're not the hero that you should be. But God says you are the one that strings the instrument and just sings the love songs. But you sing those love songs to Him in writing. Is that true? Uh-huh. Okay. That's neat. That's neat. Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you appreciate the Lord, He comes up to minister some more. Yeah. Doors are opening for you, Megan. Doors are opening for you. That's all I have. But doors are opening for you. Sometimes you feel like you have to struggle to get through doors. The Lord says the doors are opening for you. It's going to make it easier on you. Yeah. Daniel, you don't need to worry anymore. You don't need to worry. Been things in the back of your mind that you take on the weight of the world, you take on your family, and you take on this, and you take on the friend, and you carry it. The Lord says, you don't need to worry about things anymore. It's going to be okay. He's taking some of the burden off of you. Now, do you believe God wants to minister to you today? Do you believe He loves you enough to speak to you personally? Do you? Do you want to have an encounter with the Lord? If you want to feel His presence come love on you, to speak encouraging things to you, because His Spirit is eagerly desiring to connect with your spirit. He loves you that much. All right? Are those here? Are there people here that need, there are either ties or affliction in your soul that you need to surrender to the Lord? You feel it pressing on you? You kind of just want to go throw it at the feet of the Lord, get relief, get the connection back? I'm going to invite you to come up today, because the Lord wants to minister to you. And is there people out there who, because of the demands of their life and the demands on their time, that they've lost touch with the sense of the presence of the Lord? You know, it's kind of been eaten away, snatched away, and you need to get reconnected. You need to feel that He loves you and that He knows your name and He knows every hair on your head. I want to invite you to come up. Those who need a word from the Lord, I want the prophetic folks to be up to minister. Those who need healing, you need a touch from the Lord. I want to invite those to come up. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. There is a very sweet presence that's beginning to fall. Very delicate. I almost see it beginning to come out into the crowd a little and weave down into almost like a fluid. And it's that feeling that will break your heart and at the same time heal your heart. Have you ever cried and laughed in the presence at the same time? That's what I feel. That's what I'm feeling now, the presence of the Lord. So what I'd like to do is invite the minstrels back up to take us into a very sweet ministering type of music. Remember, we have the surgeon's scalpel here today. In a place, he's going to give us anesthesia as he's coming to us in a close communion, close intimacy. We've got that wedding covering over us. Now, if you need to meet the Lord, if you want to draw near to the Lord today, please come forward. He invites you forward. Let Him touch you. He wants to touch you. He wants to encourage you, to lift up your heart. He wants to make it easy for you. Those who minister in the prophetic, I want you to come up. Now, there's some roadblocks I want to clear out of the way here for us. If this is you, if this is in your heart, you go ahead and just pray silently along as I go. You can speak it out. One is, do you need to repent before the Lord? Are you hanging on to something that you're ready to set aside? Then repent before the Lord. Ask for His forgiveness. Change your mind about it. Do you need to recant something? To withdraw statements or thoughts or attitudes that you held on to? That you choose, that you're not going to come into agreement with that. Tell the Lord, I'm not coming into agreement with that any longer. One of those things, I see a familiar spirit of rejection. If that applies to you, I want you to pray with me now. Lord, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that You would forgive me for coming into agreement with rejection, assuming that you didn't love me or that I wasn't good enough. Or no matter how hard I tried, I wouldn't reach the presence. Lord, I renounce that because that is a lie in the hell. You receive me as I am. You love me. You are the one that heals me and makes me white as snow and cleanses me. Lord, we just renounce the spirit of rejection. We renounce the spirit of despair in the name of Jesus, and we tell the occupants to leave. And we welcome your presence, Lord, your healing anointing. Going to let the Lord minister. If those that are in need of healing, I want you to come up over here. If you have a need of healing, prophetic folks, I want you to look where the Lord is. I want you to minister to them. See, some of you that I have literally blotted out your vision, but the Lord is restoring your vision, your ability to see Him, your ability to perceive Him. Along the way, He's removing the thorn and bringing healing to your heart. While there's prayer going on, I want to dismiss you downstairs to fellowship with one another. And we just thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing here today. And I challenge you, go find God, get a hold of Him, draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. Lord, bless you and keep you in this world.